because it's quite good, and they're coming to the Chan Center this Thursday, so you can go check them out. I believe that there are tickets available, and unfortunately, I don't have any tickets to give away, but you know, you never know. Next time. So stay tuned. Next week, we're going to be listening to kind of a similar type thing, because I did an interview today with Art Napoleon, and I had a grand old time doing those interviews today. Let me tell you, and I'm excited for next week to do a similar type thing, a showcase of the music along with the interview. And he will be playing next Thursday at the same venue right out here at UBC. So we've got about, like I said, 5 minutes left now after that little blab. And I'd like to say hello to Staza out there and Ruby, who have tuned in online. And and Gak is here. Gak is in the studio. He's coming around the corner there, opening the studio up. What's going on, my man?
Plenty.
Of course, there's always lots going on.
There is always a multitude of events happening. So I'm going to have a guest later on in Exploding Head Movies. I'm having him record something right now, and he's screwing up royally. But that's okay. He'll be ready for airtime at 7:30.
Okay, yeah. So that's what's going on on your show.
That's right. The guest will be tackling a whole bunch of older sort of Vancouver ladies that played music, and then we'll focus on the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack.
Oh, really? Have you seen the film?
Yeah, I went to see it over the past weekend, and fantastic. Great mix of, you know, comic book, manga, music, and video games. The video game aspect is quite strong in the film. It's
cool.
Marvelous. It's a great energy.
That's super cool.
Yeah. I like it a lot already.
Just get my retainer out. No, seriously, though. It'll be good fun. Maybe go check that movie out. And stay tuned for Exploding Head. Do you notice how I always say that?
Exploding Head Movies. It's right. It's
called you're red.
Yeah, Mondays.
Holy smokes, you're redlining us to, like, seriously.
Always redlining.
I know. It's that booming voice you have of yours. So we got about 5 minutes. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get Kick Gak the hell out of here, and because he has his own hour and a half.
Rob only has a precious like 1 hour to play with, and of course it's like, come on in, yeah, join us for a bit, and then ruin everything.
It only actually starts like 5 minutes into it too, because I always get put on late. That's okay. If Philippe Darache, if you're listening, that's cool with me, because you know what? You got some excellent stuff, and he is the Dr. Career. And if you're interested in that type of thing, having a job, you know,
I think
one of those
are
things.
Something that we all have to deal with, but we aspire to something to
not
do
all,
that we like.
Not all of us.
Target is the next idea.
Anyhow, so we're going to listen to that John Hornack that we didn't get to listen to. I think he's from Calgary, Alberta. And you're listening to Sore Throats Clapping Hands on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Stay tuned, kids.
just in. Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM presents Cava Radio. Join host Teddy Smooth as he explores the chimerical, the hysterical, the phantasmagorical world of burlesque and cabaret. Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM brings you Cava Radio.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Exploding Head Movie starts now. From their 1992 debut album, Betty Cola, that was Cub with Cast a Shadow off the Fantastic Mint label. And we started off with the chiptune version of the Universal theme, which is something that opens up a recent film here. So good evening. Welcome to Exploding Head Movies here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your host, Gak. Phone number for the station here is 604-822-2487. You can also email me with the old radio show name, which I know confuses some listeners, but then again, I'm pretty lazy. So that's radiofreegak@gmail.com. So what we have right now is we have a guest in the studio.
Hello.
This is Greg Kent. He is a keen listener. He actually is part of the original Exploding Head Movies movement.
The movement. Strong words. Fighting words.
It was part of a manifesto campaign. It was an ordeal that we had to do with the 90s. But yes. Anyways, so yeah, I went to high school with Greg in Thunder Bay, and we kept in touch ever since. I managed to get him relocated to Toronto, where he is now, growing family there, happy business life there, all
planted,
is well.
Seeded.
That's right.
Sprouting. Sprouting flowers.
It's sort of like a garden metaphor there. Yes. It is something that has developed
it's
that
beautiful.
Way. It is. So it's great to have
yes.
you here.
Thank you for having me.
That's no problem at all.
As you said, long-time listener, first-time contributor.
That's right. It is. It's something they've been more than welcome to do here. So, and at this point, yes, we've alluded to the idea that chiptune refers to Scott Pilgrim. So from the film, we're going to be talking about a little bit behind the score and soundtrack to Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
We'll
include some of the tangential stuff related to that. Otherwise, we're going to feature a lot of the great women of the Vancouver area and a lot of their work over the many years over various projects here.
That's true. We're going to start in, as we did with Cub, and just follow through the tendrils of where the all-girl band scene kind of went in Vancouver over the past few years. So.
Yeah, it's been a strong scene, and it hasn't always necessarily been like the cuddlecore that Cub was notorious for. But there's been lots of different roots and veins that have sort of developed from there, and there's always some fantastic stuff coming out. That's right. So we actually had another selection off Betty Cola lined up here. That's right.
That is correct. We are hitting with Nicholas Sprague.
Nicholas Sprague.
Track 8, please.
That's right. All right. The important thing about is that Greg actually has helped contribute to this playlist here. And with that, he's actually made a lot of the choices here. So at this point, my brain is not totally unplugged, but I am relying on his keen and astute curatorial behaviors here to guide you up until 9 p.m. So here is Cub with Nicholas Sprague. You're listening to Mechanical Crunches there. Anyways, there is I Am Spoonbender.
That is where the lovely Robin Iwata went to after Cub deformed many years ago. heading down to San Francisco. Whoops.
It keeps playing.
It is on a loop. There we go. Joining up with Dustin Donaldson in the art rock group I Am Spoonbender back in 1999, to which she is still a member of the band, contributing many visual and aesthetic to the band, as well as vocal aesthetic and musical aesthetic. A lot of interesting telephone iconography in that band, using telephones on stage to present themselves instead of microphones. And really interesting stuff. But as I said, she was the bassist for Cub beforehand, and they formed in 1992 with Lisa Marr and a woman named Valeria, whose last name I didn't catch, and she played drums for them. But after she departed, Nico Case wound up playing drums for them. So
yeah, they had a rotating cast of drummers there for a while, if I remember properly.
Yeah, and then that so their first batch of EPs, which came out on Mint Records, were all Valeria, I believe, or Nico, and then Lisa G signed on for the next two albums that carried them through until the breakup. So
it's a fantastic thing, and yeah, it was. I remember sort of like tuning in to Brave New Waves on CBC Radio 2 back in the day about how Cub was, and Betty Cola was always like a big deal at the time. And yeah, as we've heard, that sort of stemmed up further. And actually, after this, we're going to continue on with the Cub theme. But this is a show that airs Thursday nights, featuring a highly experimental angle.
When you experiment with cut-ups over a period of time, you find that some of the cut-ups seem to refer to future events. Well, we went on to exploit the potentials of the tape recorder.
Now, back to modern times.
Tapes, tape recorders.
Cut up, slow down, speed up, run backwards, inch the tape. That means work it back and forth across the tape head.
Hey, girls. Move a little closer.
Play several tracks at once. Cut back and forth between two recorders.
Copyright infringement. Piracy.
Oh, no, I pressed the wrong button again.
So cut-ups put you in touch with what you know and do not know that you know.
Exquisite Corpse, Thursday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. on the mighty CITR Radio 101.9, Vancouver.
This is not all rock and roll, dude.
No, it isn't.
Never.
This is Exploding Head Movies here on CITR Vancouver. I'm Gak, joined here by Greg. And we were talking about Cub before, and one of the side projects there, or not the side projects, or like the offshoots, which was I Am Spoonbender, but Cub spelt backwards is what?
Buck.
Buck.
And Buck, but Buck wasn't just B-U-C.
No, it was a K.
A K, a hard K. On the end.
That's right. Well, I'm sort of thinking phonetically backwards. You know, so it's Cub, it's Buck.
That it was.
Yes.
Felt like I stepped into Twin Peaks here for a second. But the voice of Cub was Lisa Marr, who's very distinctive, almost, you know, gruff, but at the same time soft and gentle, was the foundation of the term cuddlecore, because you had that sense of just cuteness, but also just kind of punk growl going on in there. And so one of my curiosities for a long time after Buck broke up was, where did Lisa Marr go? And searching online, I always heard reference to the other bands that she went into, and Buck would be the first that she went into, taking along with her the drummer of Cub, Lisa G, and joined up with a young man with the curious moniker of Pepperberry.
Pepperberry.
Yes. So here we have from the album, actually a self-titled album from Buck, Hex Me.
Well, she looks like a witch, but you dance like she can. We'll be right back. so tired of your true confessions. A girl like you should learn a lesson. You get around, get around, get around, get away from me. And I wanna hear about your smash sensation. Just another figment of your imagination. Fool around, you're the biggest fool I see. Stab me in the back with your pack of lies. Lame excuses, alibis. Last week's trash is yesterday's news. Talk is cheap and so are you. You're a fake on the make. Your true confessions. You're a fake on the make. Your true confessions. Sheep's clothing, full of hot air and self-loathing. You're a fake, on the make. Your true confessions. You're a fake, on the make. Your true confessions.
The lovely sounds of Lisa Marr.
They are lovely sounds.
I used to have a lot of nice, pleasant evenings to myself listening to Lisa Marr. Not that pleasant.
I'm just making sure the hands were above the equator at that point, but yes.
But yes, I've had a long crush on Lisa Marr for many, many years, and that just rough growl voice.
Nice, sinister, nice little sort of playful, but still scrappy type voice there.
So that was the True Confessions by the Beards, which was Lisa Marr's follow-up group to Buck after Buck dissolved in 2000. Buck was only a short-lived two-year project, but the Beards probably just as short-lived, which was then followed by, from what I read, there was a group called The Here and Now that Lisa Marr was a part of, but I have no other knowledge on that. But beyond that, The Beards was also along with Kim Shattuck, who many people might know from The Muffs, beyond that. And after that, Lisa Marr went on to form the Lisa Marr Experiment, which is more of a less growly, more of a country twang to it. Which
there's nothing wrong with that. Yes. I mean, we can think about someone else who was part of the Cub Collective that picked up a bit of a twang from her exit from Vancouver at the time, but we'll be listening to her actually coming up next.
Yeah,
in this next little set
pretty
here.
Much right
hey,
there. Exactly.
Segue.
Transition.
My word, I've done this before.
As we had mentioned before, Nico Case, the ubiquitous Nico Case, the lovely Nico Case, was a member of Cub very briefly, filling in on drums for a little while, but I guess took inspiration with what Cub was doing, and shortly after Cub started, along came Ma. First Meow, but then Ma, I guess. Would you say that?
Yeah, most all the references I've seen always spelt it out as M-A-O-W. So the idea is it's ma, but mao. The entire sort of range of cat noises or the feline birds. Yes, anyways. This is the sounds that he normally made listening to Lisa Marr as well.
I was doing it in studio the whole time.
Right. He's just curled up in the corner somewhere. There's just little mats that are set there. He's been fed on sardines and a nice little salmon dish there. Purring away. Yes.
So what we have coming up is a real special treat for Nico Case fans and for Maw fans of old. We found in the bowels of CITR's record collection a live recording done here in studio.
That's right. What happens is, of course, if you listen to Thursday nights after Exquisite Corpse, there is a Thunderbird Radio Hell. And that has been going on for many years. So back in 1996, Mao came into the CITR lounge here and they recorded a set. And most of the time that was just on tape. But back in 2004, there was a great digitization process that occurred, and this actually came out in CD, and I wasn't totally aware. I mean, I knew Mao had a couple hit singles released, and then the Unforgettable Sounds of Mao album that came out, I think it was 96 or 97 or so.
Yeah,
but
96.
This collection here is something that has been aired, hopefully, well, I think primarily on this station, since I don't think we franchise out the entire live in from Thunderbird Radio Hell Thursday evenings 9 to 11 or 9 till whenever with everybody's favorite host Ben Halai. But yes, so we're going to listen to a couple tracks from this live session that they did back in 1996.
That we are kicking off with Rock and Roll Boy.
All right, CITR, Vancouver, stick around.
Practice.
Hello, Vancouver. This is Carolyn Mark. You're listening to CITR 101.9 on your FM dial.
Four.
One way to skin a cat, you know.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One, two, three, four.
Some of the little cuts there on the CD are take a little bit of finessing there, but yes, you obviously that was live performance there, and you're listening to live radio here.
Yeah.
By
that wasn't live now though. That was live in 1996.
Live then, live not now. This is live. Live. What we're doing right now is live. I'm telling you right now, Vancouver is just after 8 o'clock in the Pacific time zone. You're listening to CITR Vancouver, 101.9 FM. This is Exploding Head Movies. I'm Gak.
I am Greg.
He's Greg.
I am.
What am I?
Gak.
Woo. We should have practiced this. Anyways, yes, we just heard two cuts there by Mao, live in the CITR Lounge back in one day in 1996.
Formed in 1995. Mao.
Okay.
Not CITR. But that, yes, Mao is Toby Black, Corinda Hammond, and Nico Case. They released one indie EP called I Love Me Too.
I Love Me Too.
I Love Me Too. And yes, the one full length for Mint that was...
The Unforgivable Sounds.
Of Mao. Yes, it was... But beyond that, Toby Black, the guitarist for Mao, joined Coco Culberson to found The Gay, which a Vancouver band from 2001-ish through to about 2003, 2004. And so we're going to listen to some of The Gay right now. A quasi-supergroup in the local area, I guess.
They were, yeah.
Yeah, so... we'll kick in with Fidelity from the album You Know the Rules.
You Know the Rules. And just because we have to cover all our bases from Mao, we heard Rock and Roll Boy. And how does that grab you, darling?
Grabs me just fine.
I'm sure it grabs you in all the right places. So, yeah, here's The Gay with Fidelity.
In my chest, don't fake it, it's so tough.
place to go.
There is a place. There is a place.
Where snow and sand.
From their self-titled album 2007, that's The Choir Practice with I See Things.
Yes, Coco Culberson, who I mentioned before, from founding The Gay, went on to found The Choir Practice back in 2007, purportedly as an excuse to drink and sing songs with friends.
And there are a lot of friends, actually. Two people that we should definitely mention that have been part of The Choir Practice at one point is Scotty, who hosts the Friday Scotty Scenic Drive here Fridays 10 to 12, and then Olivia Featherstenhoff, who we better known as Fanshawe, who had her debut album released earlier this year through Mint.
Yes, a lot of mint going on tonight.
It is a very minty fresh type evening
minty
here.
Fresh.
Our teeth are polished, and if you listen closely, you can hear the reflection of the shine.
Gling, gling, gling. So next up, we're going to have a little discussion about the lovely Nico Case, who we've mentioned many times before.
Yes.
From Ma, I'll be doing this all evening. She went on to work with the lovely Carolyn Mark, who we did a little interstitial there at the 8 o'clock. And the Korn Sisters went from 98 to 2004, performing lovely country and western ditties together. And then... both decided to spread off on their own and perform their own country and western ditties.
Because Nico Case definitely picked up on a serious Patsy Cline vibe after her time here in Vancouver, once her student visa expired from Emily Carr. And then, yes, she formed a team featuring some members of like Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet, and she formed the team group called the Virginians. The first album was called The Virginian. It was Nico Case and her boyfriends.
Her boyfriends, who also included likes like Matt Murphy from Super Friends and Flashing Lights.
Yeah, there was a fantastic collection of sort of Canadian indie individual members from great bands.
Extremely talented boyfriends she had.
Many boyfriends, and they were quite talented. But of course, now we know at this point she's broke off onto her own. She's been sent anti. And one of the last things that she managed to do in Vancouver before she took off was she helped duet with Carl Newman from Zumpano.
Newman.
It's how we say it in New York. It's like you avoid the Supermans and the Spidermans over, and you have a great time. The Batmans.
Because we're so New York.
Well, one of us is when necessary. But, of course, with that, they did take of Bowling Green, and at that point, Carl Newman realized what a great singer Nico Case was, and the seeds of that collaboration formed into what was New Pornographers. But let's have Nico Case on her own here first.
But even more threads on top of that, though.
We got threads galore.
Kurt Dahl also performed with The Choir Practice on their self-titled debut.
It all comes together.
Kurt Dahl of the New Pornographers, I should add.
This is all straightforward enough, but yes, from the New Pornographers, it's Kurt Dahl helped out.
There will be on CITR radio website, we will have a nice thread of all the connections.
There will be a beautiful flowchart that you could print at home, and at the appropriate ports, you could just sort of blot our voices.
It's poster sized, actually.
If you raster size it, you can actually hang it, and it's visible from space.
Yes.
But Nico Case turned 40 recently, and she had to cancel some tour plans as of late. But if you did go to Seattle for Labor Day weekend to Bumbershoot, you should have seen her there. But from her most recent album, Middle Cyclone.
Shame on you if you didn't.
Shame all around if you didn't. But at the very least, yes. So from Middle Cyclone, here's Nico Case with People Got a Lot of Nerve.
Standing in the concrete.
For over the last 25 years, CITR's Shindig has been exposing Vancouver to the freshest, newest talent the city has to offer. Every Tuesday, starting September 14th at the Railway Club, we continue this time-honored tradition of three bands battling it out, and as always, the dreaded jokes for beer. This week's performers are
Boy Voyage, Pineapple, and Sajia Sultana.
Shindig every Tuesday night at the Railway Club, 579 Dunsmuir Street, doors at 9, first band at 9:30.
Guys just finished a European tour, and right now they have plans for October to hit some of the big dates that are coming up in the U.S., and then they'll be heading to Australia. One thing that they'll be doing is if you go the weekend, October 1st to 3rd, to Las Vegas, Matador Records is holding their 21st anniversary party. Why 21st? I guess it's the Blackjack anniversary, so they'll be at the Palms Casino. Aside from that, then, yes, scattered dates throughout the East Coast. They'll be in Halifax, for those of you going to Halifax Pop Explosion. And then, yes, they'll be in Australia. And there'll be a couple dates in New Zealand as well, too. So that is off New Pornographer's latest album, Together. And that was Up in the Dark.
Yeah, we all know about the New Pornographers at this point. So, I mean, feels kind of wrong to rehash that. So let's move on.
Quite. Although if you've been reading Discorder magazine, we did a reassessment of the best bands of 2000 through 2009, just local bands. And of course, New Pornographers still qualify. And they were the number one band, as it were.
No surprise at all. They've blown up, as it were.
Blown up huge.
10 years of blowing up.
That's right. Power pop at its finest.
Yes. So you can't get away with talking about the all-girl bands of Vancouver without mentioning the Refrandels, even though for a short period of time they weren't an all-girl band and they actually had a boy with them. Gasp!
What scandal that. What scandal indeed.
The Refrandels were formed in 1999 by Wen Marcellers, former CITR alum. I guess you wouldn't say former CITR alum. She's still an alum.
She's still an alum.
And also, I would say former CBC radio disc jockey.
That's
well.
Right. She used to be producer with Radio 3.
Yep, producer with Radio 3. Worked on with Grant Lawrence extensively and had her own show for a little while on the Radio On, I believe. And she formed that with Kathy Camaro and drummer Anne-Marie Rock. And yes, Sean Reggett joined them for a brief stint for a little while. So we're going to listen to from their Mint EP from 1999, the track The Refrandels Theme.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
We're the Refrandels, come party with us.
the Riff Randalls.
Named there. After the rock and roll high school movie featuring the Ramones.
That is correct. Very correct. That was from the song M.O. from the Delmonico Records EP. But before that, we had...
We did some extra Riff Randalls there.
Yes, the Riff Randalls theme and After School Special from the Mint EP, self-titled EP, as opposed to Delmonico self-titled EP. And the Riff Randalls are still together. They did, unfortunately, turfed Mar Sellers from the band in 2000, but Mar wasn't by herself for very long. But the Riff Randalls have stayed together with Anne-Marie and Kathy having a rotating cast of bassists, it seems like. And they last released a record on Dirtnap in 2006, and from Online Records, they went on a Japanese tour in 2008. Mar Sellers, who we were talking about, went on to form the Ewoks, a lo-fi punk all-girl band consisting of drums, organ, and vocals, which was a very unique mix and really not quite a novelty act, more of a punk novelty act, I guess you would say.
And yeah, I think novelty is sort of like short-term, like indicates sort of like a one-song, one-hit wonder, or they just like had some sort of gimmick behind it, but... It definitely had a distinctive personality,
yes,
to it.
Yes, a definite sense of humor to it. The Ewoks, obviously named after the little fuzzy creatures from Return of the Jedi.
Jump, jump.
But we'll play a track from the Ewoks' split EP with the Lottie Collins, which was independently released. I'm not sure the label off the top of my head, but we'll play that track called Sunken Airplane.
All right, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Exploding Head Movies. He's Greg.
I am Greg. He's Gak.
I'm Gak.
Run off, lad, we'll run you through. No.
Do you hear the seagulls calling there, Greggy?
The sea shanty.
Ah.
The sea shanty.
Wasn't today International Talk like a pirate day, too?
Was it?
Arr.
I don't know.
Arr.
Arr.
Perhaps.
Arr. Maybe we shall make it so.
Why not, indeed. Arr, what did we just hear there, Captain Kent?
That would be Yo-Ho, the Pirate Song by the Duloks.
The Duloks. Now, who are the Duloks again in Star Wars lore?
Well, the Ewoks were had their own cartoon series in the 1980s, and the Duloks were their nemeses, their opposites, if you were. Vile little furry creatures who always tried to spoil their good time. And
it's convenient that the Duloks never actually showed up during, the Return of the Jedi.
Yes, very, very convenient.
And that's like, oh, look, the Empire's here. We're just going to hide.
Much of any extension to the Star Wars lore that was happened in the 80s was very suspect, including the live-action Ewoks TV movies, which I have a fond affinity for, but were
fond affinity for?
Yes, the redundant fond affinity I had for the two live-action Ewoks movies that came out in the late 1980s.
I'm impressed there were two of them. I figured the holiday special would have just killed off.
The second one included Sir Wilfred Brimley and his magical balloon.
And his oatmeal?
Rescued them. But anyways, getting back on topic. Yo-Ho was from the Children of the Sea EP, which is available from iTunes, but mainly just released in the UK. And as we were talking, the Duloks were the opposite of the Ewoks. Mar Sellers moved to the UK and formed the Duloks there with the lovely Mira Manga, who has just a wild sense of humor and a great voice and bundles of energy, and their live shows were a sight to behold and can be beheld on YouTube, along with a couple of videos that have actually some quite professional videos on the YouTubes. And the Ewoks consisted of, before that, Mar Sellers and Jenny Smith and Katie Ritchie, who later became Katie Sketch, who founded the organ alongside Jenny Smith, who played the titular organ. And yes, they became the big sensation of 2001, creating a bidding war with their self-titled EP, Sinking Hearts. And I forget where they landed, but Mint Records obviously picked that up, but I forget the U.S. Label that...
Yeah, that history's a little obscure to me, but yeah, they actually did... Their reputation preceded them, and they were based out of Vancouver, and if you talk to our music coordinator, Luke Meat, he has very kind words to say about the organ in general, but they were Shindig participants at one point. I forget how far they made it. I think they managed to beat the curse somehow, but yeah, they were definitely a beacon, sounding a very austere organ type sound, like that early 80s. Not really cold wave pop, but it just sounds gorgeous.
Yes. Very fond of the organ, as I am of most of this music that we've been playing. All of this music that we've been playing.
I would hope you'd be fond of it, because otherwise picking it would have been kind of
I'm
crazy.
I'm playing music I hate.
This is some music I adequately tolerate.
Maybe we should start a show called Hate Music on CITR.
There might actually be a lot of that already. Believe it or not, that yeah. Anyways, so speaking of the organ,
the organ who they disbanded in 2006 much to the sadness of the international community, who were much looking forward to their second release, which never really happened, but that kind of did, because Mint managed to persuade Katie and Jenny and the gang to get together and finish off the songs that they had written but not quite recorded yet to create the 2008 EP Thieves, of which we're going to hear the song Oh What a Feeling on CITR
101.9 FM
Vancouver.
You let in the ghost of her. Now I see it everywhere. Take your body back, but uh-oh, please leave me the fair. Loneliness is in the air. Even the birds are in pairs. I can hear it in that peeping. Oh, what a feeling. And I
CITR has tons of friends. Because with your Friends of CITR card, you get rad discounts from local businesses. Say Commercial Drive is your home sweet hipster home. Then present your Friends card at Bone Rattle Music, Audiophile, People's Co-op Bookstore, High Life Records, and Spank Clothing. And you'll receive awesome discounts. So become a CITR member, get a free Friends card, and feel the love.
Jazz is a word that means many different things to many different people. The best definition of jazz that I know of is the jazz show on CITR with yours truly, Gavin Walker. Monday nights, 9 to midnight, with the jazz feature at 11 o'clock. Check us out every Monday.
Lynette Gillis, Carla Gillis, Amanda Brading, Katrina Sturton.
All together they are.
Plumtree from clear across the country from what we were talking about. The Vancouver scene there from the Halifax scene. Formed in 1993, defunct 2000. They created the now ubiquitous Scott Pilgrim.
That's right. This actually originally appeared on their, I think it's 1993 album. This was all written up in the future. It's up 1997, sorry. So 1997 off their album Predicts the Future. That's Plumtree with Scott Pilgrim.
That is correct. Scott Pilgrim, which is our feature tonight from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, started as a comic book series, started its life about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, by creator Brian Lee O'Malley, who wanted to, in Toronto, who wanted to merge music and indie comics into a super vehicle to create Canada's first real superhero. Forget Wolverine. I think Scott Pilgrim is Canada's first real superhero.
Go away, Logan.
Yes, set firmly in Toronto, which very few comic book series are, Scott Pilgrim just melded, like, really established that world of indie rock and really delved into the slacker indie life, hipster lifestyle, and merged video games and just multimedia.
Yeah, there's some serious pop culture jonesing on going on with the entire Scott Pilgrim experience. You think about manga, the entire sort of Japanese style influence of drawing that, right? The video game aspect is quite strong. And the one thing that strikes me about Edgar Wright's direction in the film is how prevalent the entire video game theme is. You know.
It was probably the most gripping part, or not gripping, but the most attractive part of the series to many people was the video game element to the comic books was really what probably garnered the most attention for it, was the fact that it merged these video game elements into both a hipster love story as well as an action book, and merging all these different genres into one radical little series.
It is. And of course the music was the strong forefront with that, since Scott Pilgrim was part of a not so successful band called the Sex Bob-ombs. And we're actually going to talk a little bit more about the music that doesn't appear, or at least the music that appears in the movie itself. But we're going to focus right now on the soundtrack parts here. And Nigel Godrich is the producer extraordinaire at this point. He's worked with Radiohead pretty much from the Bends onwards, even though he started off as an audio engineer. And then he's been doing some serious production work for Beck in the past. Mm-hmm. So Nigel Godrich and Beck teamed up together to help out with the entire Scott Pilgrim experience, to the point that there are two, and I'm actually willing to say three, different soundtracks at play here. But let's cut the chatter here for a bit, and let's dive into a couple of Godrich's cues. And we're going to start off with one of the great little franchise chains that exists out in Toronto, which is much of a surprise to Americans when they sort of stumble up. So from the original score to Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, here's Nigel Godrich with Second Cup.
Thank you.
in the background here. Nigel Godrich
vegan.
With Vegan.
Great fight sequence between Scott Pilgrim and Superman, actually. It was Brandon Routh who played Todd Ingram in this battle sequence between Todd Ingram, the vegan psychic warrior.
That's right. Now, the thing is, there's a connection between Todd Ingram with Scott Pilgrim, the original thing, wasn't there?
That's right. The name Scott Pilgrim was an amalgam of two names of people that the girls in Plumtree knew. Oh, the name escapes me now.
So Scott Ingram, I think, is one of them. Or it's Jay, and then it's Jay Pilgrim or something like that.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, there was actually never an original Scott Pilgrim at all. They just took two names.
Scott Ingram.
And then sort of took them together. And what happened is that one of the guys, I think O'Malley, when he was doing his research, just sort of grabbed that name and plopped it in.
That's correct.
Yeah. So connecting again with Nigel Godrich and Beck. So Beck actually was asked by Edgar Wright to help provide the music for the Sex Bob-ombs. And he picked up some inspiration from new bands like Time's New Viking, Hot Snakes, and Beck's older stuff. And he basically came up with all the songs for the Sex Bob-ombs within a 72-hour recording period. But, of course, the Canadian connections remain super strong with Scott Pilgrim. Since the band Crash and the Boys... That was Broken Social Scene.
Yes.
There was Demon... What? What was the...
Clash at Demon Head.
Clash at Demon Head. That's Metric, and they provided the music that way. And then from Sloan, Chris Murphy was hired as a consultant to get the actors to look like real band players.
With the exception of their lead actor, who Michael Cera, who already had a very strong foundation with the guitar. Although I think bass was a little bit learned for him.
Yeah. So we're going to listen to a couple more cues here from Nigel Godrich's score to Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Coming up now, well, since we were talking about the vegan, here's Bass Battle.
Sorry, I guess.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
I'm never sorry. What are you guys talking about? All apologetic and stuff. Oh, wait, that doesn't fit the mood. Anyway, so yes, we just heard Sorry, I Guess. And then before that, the left-right channel speaker challenge. That was the bass battle, of which the vegan was the third evil X. And then
correct.
That's what happened. So that's from Nigel Godrich's score to Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. There is the soundtrack version, which you can find, you know, all the Sex Bob-omb songs, Crash and the Boys.
Some extra songs by Metric.
That's right. And then as well, too,
Social Scene and
some great numbers there. There's even a remote reference from Frank Black. But a lot of the songs done by Sex Bob-omb, you'll find the original compositions done by Beck. Mm-hmm. And then on the original score by Nigel Godrich, you'll hear other influences like Cornelius, who I think was part of the Katsunama Twins.
That's right.
Then Automator provided the Ninja Revolution music.
Kid Koala's, Automator.
That's right. Kid Koala's scratches appear from different places. And Edward Wright's collaborator from Hot Fuzz on some of the channel soundtracks provides some like oral landscapes, and that would be Aussie Miso. But as well, too, one thing I really wish we had time to focus on, but again, we had a jam-packed 90 minutes here. There's also the video game soundtrack, which sounds phenomenal, featuring music by New York chiptune quartet Anamanaguchi. But you know what? There's always time for me to focus on that. But unfortunately, this is our last minute here with Greg Kent, a gracious guest here.
Press the awe button.
Oh. Don't press the awe button.
Oh.
Yes, it's aww, our time. Stop it.
Everybody's glad to see me go.
No, I mean, we'd well, we got a different type of show here. No, it's you sure are definitely more than welcome to come back. Anytime you're back in the Vancouver area, Mr. Kent, you are more than welcome to intrude upon these airwaves.
I will call in.
Yes.
First call in.
If you ever are awake at that time, if your children don't keep you up at all hours. But, yeah, no, you had a great music selection here.
Thank you, sir.
It's a great theme. Hopefully everyone enjoyed it.
It was my absolute pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Good. But if you missed any part of this week's episode, you can always get to the website, www.citr.ca. The podcast is available there. Just look under the schedule under Exploding Head Movies. We should hope to have a playlist up for you soon. But a lot of improvisations were made at the time. But at the very least, once you do have the podcast, we'll make sure the description has been updated. And you should be good to go from there. So next week, I will be on my own. But we'll have Piero Umiliani, a great Italian composer that way. And yay. So coming up in a few short minutes is Gavin Walker with The Jazz Show. Then after the overnight magic, that is whatever he picks. Tuesday morning, 6 a.m., it is Pacific Picking with Arthur and Andrea. So we're going to... He found the yay button. Yay. So let's close up here with a power blues rock duo here from Vancouver. This is the Pack AD. And these girls have a fantastic album out called Wheel Keel Computers. And off this album, we're going to listen to Crazy. So take care of yourselves, Vancouver. Yay. Take care, Greg.
Aww.
Yes. All right.
Thank you, Gary. Just wait, you take care as well.
Just wait till that promo that we just recorded comes available.
Stay good looking, Seattle.
And stay better looking, Vancouver. Watching the sun.
You are listening to CITR FM and Cable 101.9. Stay tuned now for The Jazz Show with Gavin Walker coming right up. The time is just a few seconds after 9 p.m. Check us out also on the web, www.citr.ca.
Ba-do-ba-dee-oo-doo-dee-doo-doo-wee. Ba-do-ba-dee-oo-doo.